Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. The preeminent, the ultimate test of love for God is obedience to his will. If you love God, then you will choose to make him your closest, most intimate friend, and you will express that choice in your submission to his will, in your desire to make him happy. Verse 2. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land, and what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses, to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. God's whipping of Pharaoh and his army down in Egypt was intended to be part of Israel's moral education. The end product was to be a nation that appreciated and loved and therefore obeyed the Lord God. 5. And what he did to you in the wilderness until you came into this place. God gave Israel a moral education for sure. First period was down in Egypt. Second period was in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to learn to depend on God. And he came through. He came through with water. He came through with meat. He came through with manna. 6. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. First period was down in Egypt. Second period was in the wilderness. Third period of their moral education. Well, that wasn't very pretty. But the destruction of Dathan and Abiram taught Israel a very important lesson on the holiness of God. You don't mess with God and his moral decrees. 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. This generation of Israel had a stockpile of memories to draw from and to inspire them to be in awe of God. You know, in some ways they didn't even have to live by faith. They could live by sight because they saw all these things. You and I certainly have to live by faith because we're believing the word of God that contains the things that they witnessed firsthand. 8. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, and to their seed, a land that flows with milk and honey. The supreme lesson of Israel's moral education is this: to experience God's favor, you need to behave yourself. Their strength was directly related to their morals and not to their armies. Verse 10. For the land where you go in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs, But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven. Verse 12, a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. The gripers, if you recall, always wanted the Hebrews to go back to Egypt. Oh, it's so much better there. It was so wonderful there, they said. But God says, Egypt is nothing compared to this new place that I'm giving you. In Egypt, the crops grew because of manpower. In the new land, things will grow because of God's power. 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn and your wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your cattle, that you may eat and be full. You know, if they just love and serve the rain supplier, God, he'd open the windows of heaven and water the ground at the right time of the year. And he would always send just the correct amount of water as well. You know, not too much to drown them out, not too little to dry out the crops. 16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, many of the pagan gods that they were used to seeing down in Egypt were fertility gods. And that would be the same case in the Promised Land where they were headed. Fertility gods. They were worshipped through ritualistic sex. Pretty exciting. Pretty flesh-appealing stuff when compared to offering a sacrifice at the tabernacle, but God doesn't want Israel to transfer their trust to those pagan gods and give in to the ways of the Canaanites, because if they do, they're going to have problems. 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. If Israel worships fertility gods, they won't be fertile. The real God will put those false gods to shame and send a famine, expose their futility. 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. The temptation would be so powerful, and their willpower would be so weak. The only way they'd get the victory is to saturate themselves with the Word of God. If we don't saturate ourselves with the Word of God today, Satan and the world and the flesh will take control of our minds, and then take control of our attitudes, and then take control of our actions as well. Verse 19. And you shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Heathenism, immorality, idolatry, it was just waiting to creep in and conquer the soul of every single one of those Israelites. And the only defense they had was to make sure Scripture was a part of every facet of their lives. 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, If you do that, if you cleave to him, Israel was to hold fast to God. In other words, their obedience was to be a continual, consistent thing. They were to be in they were to be in this thing with God for the long haul. And that would be evidence of their love for God, and that would bring them blessing. 23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Miraculous victories over tougher enemies would be theirs if their walk with God was consistent. 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said to you. When the people are terrified, when people in general are terrified, they often become irrational. Terrified, you become impetuous, paralyzed in some senses. God said he'd put this type of fear in the hearts of Israel's enemies. You can't do much when you're in that state. Again, verse 24, he says, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall your coast be. So God had a great strategy. It was the old give and go play. If Israel goes, God will give. 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord your God has brought you in to the land where you go to possess it, that you shall put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goes down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign opposite Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? 31. For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you shall possess it and dwell therein. And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. God says, Israel, you've got the power to write your own history. You've got the power to determine your own destiny. And in a way, God has given each one of us, each one of his children, Christians today, and even non-Christians, the power to determine their own history. We make our own fun. We make our own life. We really do, depending on how we respond to God and his commandments.